coach, I'll fade away.
Hey, Truth Seekers, Malloy here on the NoVem Radio Network. Oh my God, that sounds like music from a million years ago. Yeah, go back and listen to music from the 60s and 70s if you really want to feel old. One of the reasons Kathy's playing that is because tonight is what we refer to as Ute Night in honor of my cousin Vinny. The phone calls tonight, we're hoping, will be from people between the ages of 13 and 17. The adults we asked to kind of hang back tonight and see how it goes. If the kids want to take over the program tonight via the phone calls, that's what we're looking for. If this doesn't quite make it, then we'll just go to what we usually do. But the number here for our teenage callers is 800-989-1480. And we would like to hear from you tonight. We've done this before at various places I've worked where we just have kids call in. And it's interesting to hear what is said. So if you're 13, 14, 15, 16, or 17, we want to hear from you tonight. The number is 800-989-1480. Jump in as soon as you like. We have no particular agenda tonight, just what whatever you would like to talk about, which we normally don't do on this program, but we are going to do it tonight. So when the spirit moves you, if you're a teenager, this is the place to call in. We do have a couple of items here. Whether you want to talk about it or not is really immaterial. There are much more important things, but this is some stuff that's collected, plus a little bit of celebrity. I can't even say it. Celebrity news. First of all, was it last week? About 10 days ago, Randall Tobias, the Deputy Secretary of State, his name turned up in the phone records or whatever of the madam in Washington, D.C. And, of course, his claim is, oh, no, 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 no. It was just for a massage. And Mark in Indiana sent me an email and said there is some comic irony in the Randall Tobias story in that the company that he ran before he became Deputy Secretary of State is Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company. Now, think about that for a second. Someone who ran a pharmaceutical company was made Deputy Secretary of State. That makes sense, right? Yeah, of course it does. In the Bush crime family, it's not whether you are qualified to the positions to which you're appointed, but how much money you were able to give to the Bush crime family. So apparently Randall Tobias was able to get a lot of money out of Eli Lilly, and, well, he should have. The pharmaceutical companies in this country have become almost as dangerous, if probably more dangerous, than the military-industrial complex. The pharmaceutical-industrial complex is out of control. But anyway, I digress. Randall Tobias, who used to run Eli Lilly, that's the company that is the maker of Cialis. That's the product in their commercials. They caution, in the rare case of an erection lasting 4 hours or more, contact your doctor immediately. And he gets caught with sex workers. Mark in Indiana says, I think someone may have been feeding him some of his own medicine, literally. That is ironic, isn't it? Of course it is. And White House Deputy Press Secretary Too Much Cappuccino Perino is apparently married to a real scofflaw in the eyes of U.S. Park Service. Her husband got thrown in jail for having a dog off a leash. Back in November, what happened? Too Much Cappuccino Perino's husband, British businessman Peter McMahon, was walking their dog Henry. Who would name a dog Henry? Anyway, walking him in Lincoln Park, just east of the Capitol in D.C., and the dog was not on a leash. Now, most cities have leash laws for a number of reasons, not the least of which, to prevent a dog. And if you're a dog owner, don't call me. Don't email me because of what I'm going to say. You know, a dog might go berserk and attack a child. Also, dogs take dumps, and they do it with alarming regularity, just like other creatures. And unless there is a law saying, scoop it up, you know, unless there's a pooper scooper law, people just don't. They just leave it there, and, you know, you're walking, you step in it. So, all these reasons to keep your animal on a leash. But Dana Perino's husband, well, of course, why should he do it? You know, he's married to Dana Perino. So, he got a park officer asked him to get control of Henry and put him on a leash. This wise-ass McMahon said he didn't have a leash. You know, at that point, if I were the cop, I would have said, take your belt off and put it around the animal's neck now! McMahon, Dana Perino's husband, replied he didn't have a leash, so the cop issued him a violation notice that carried with it a $25 fine. And McMahon then turned to the officer and said, why don't you go chase down some squirrels? Now, I'm not, you know, a big supporter of the police who put a lot of pressure on folks, but I also don't like smartasses when they're obviously breaking the law and they don't have a legitimate excuse, like the woman who was stopped trying to get to her husband or her father down in Tampa who was having a heart attack. Have you seen that video yet? Jesus, God in heaven. And the Tampa cop pulled her over. She said, my dad is in the hospital right around the corner having a heart attack. Please let me go. And the cop you can look at it. It's on YouTube. It's all over the place. It's disgusting. But that's not what this was about. This was a snot who's saying, leash law, why don't you go chase some squirrels? So he had 15 days to pay his fine or request a court date. And he didn't do either. You know, why should he? So early last month, McMahon returned from a business trip overseas to discover the cop had requested a warrant for his arrest, which a judge issued. So on April 12th, McMahon went to headquarters to pay the fine in person. He was thrown in jail for the whole day. God. And, of course, Paris Hilton has been sentenced to 45 days in jail. Ooh. I know, who cares? And I really don't. But, you know, here it is. The judge who sentenced her for violating her probation said there will be no alternative jail, no alternative to jail, no early work release, no furloughs, no electronic monitoring in place of jail. No. Go to jail. So when she came into court today for this thing, she, according to the Associated Press, I like this. The heiress arrived at court 10 minutes late in the back of a black Cadillac Escalade and swept into the Metropolitan Courthouse with several men in suits, ignoring screams of photographers lining the route into a rear entrance. Her parents, Rick and Kathy Hilton, also came with her. Wearing a black jacket and a white shirt over black slacks and with a black headband on, she said nothing and appeared serious. Oh, my God. Yeah, she was drunk driving, and I'm death on drunk drivers. Oh, my God, I am death on drunk drivers. Someone who gets caught driving drunk, I used to favor a year in jail. And suspension of their license for 5 years until someone pointed out to me, you know, what about, you know, a man or woman has kids or they're married and, you know, really screw up their life. So I'm no longer real sure about how to handle drunk driving. Of course, if someone is drunk and gets behind the wheel of a car, they have no respect for their spouse or their children anyway. So I'm pretty much sticking with it. I'm absolute murder when it comes to drunk driving. I've had a couple of friends killed by drunk drivers. I think Kathy, haven't you? No. Okay. I know people who have been seriously injured, by drunk drivers. You were in an accident that involved a drunk driver?
Yeah. When I was 14.
Oh, that's right.
And my mother was really badly hurt. It broke her chin. It broke her collarbone. It broke her knee. She was in the passenger seat. Another friend was driving and I was in the back seat.
Right. So, you know, I can't handle drunk drivers who do things like this. And so as far as Paris Hilton getting behind the wheel, I don't care if it's Paris Hilton or Paris France. It doesn't matter to me. She deserves certainly the 45 days in jail and probably loss of her driving privileges, maybe for the rest of her life. 'Cause attitude plays a part here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. What else we got? Oh, Derek in Woodbridge, Virginia knows why Glenn Beck is a nutcase, and I'll share that with you when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Get your rage on. It's Mike Malloy.
It is 21 past the hour. All right, we've got a couple of young folks on hold here. Let's do a couple. The number here again is 800-989-1480. We'll come back to the Glenn Beck thing in a minute. Let's start with Austin. Ari is calling from Austin, Texas. Oh, my God, I'm screwing up already. Hey, Ari, welcome to the program.
Hey, how's it doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Okay. I'm 13 years old. I'm liberal, but not super liberal. I just wanted to say that we can't be sure that we can trust the presidency anymore if we can see it be abused like this without the will of the American people behind it.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm not sure I'm understanding you. We can't trust it anymore if what?
Since Bush is hijacking the country.
Right.
How can we be sure that another president won't do this?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's almost the first time that this has happened on such a large scale. So how can we handle any presidency after this?
Yeah, that's a pretty good question. I think if nothing else, the experience of having George Bush and the people he has put into these various positions in government has made people aware that certainly, at least right now, the Republican Party is no longer a functioning governing party. It functions, but it doesn't function as a party that can govern the United States. Now, I'm not saying necessarily that it can't pull itself out of the slime and get back to the point where the Republican Party can contribute something to self-government, but they can't do it right now. So how do we know that the next one is not going to be as bad? I think is what you're saying. I think the quick answer would be not to vote another Republican administration in for quite some time until, if it ever happens again, until the Republican Party has purged itself of these extreme right-wingers who lie and cheat and steal and do the things that they're not supposed to do in anywhere, much less in trying to run the country. So that leaves one with the reality of voting for a different political party. Now, who? A lot of folks make the case that the Democrats, to a large extent, are cowardly where it concerns governance. But who's left? Okay, there's the Greens, there's independents, there's a few parties.
But those don't have majority support, so they're in most places there aren't. There's no
right
point to voting for them.
Well, that's true.
You need to make a compromise between.
That's right. Maybe by the time you're old enough to vote, which is not that far in the future, there will be a viable third or fourth party that people can go to. So I think you've kind of answered the question that either vote Democratic for the foreseeable future or, you know, try to figure out some other way to do it. But you know, we've got to have leadership. We're still involved in this experiment of self-governing. So that the framers started 230 years ago. So we've got to have people that are honest. I don't believe there are honest Republicans right now. The other thing, Ari, I think the surest way is to be a little bit, to make sure we don't get into this again, is to be a little bit more demanding of answers when these guys are candidates and now women, when they're candidates, make them answer specifically questions and don't give up until there's an honest, straightforward answer. I get so sick of politicians who use weasel words. And these people have got to answer the questions.
And Democrats do that too a lot, something that I'm really annoyed with. There needs to be an honest president that doesn't do
there,
that.
There you go.
I think Obama is one of the only ones that actually has been consistent not doing that.
Well, Dennis Kucinich, who made a run the last time, I think he has been honest and straightforward. So, yeah, you got to be careful. So I guess it's there's a Latin phrase. It's emptor caveat, and it means let the buyer beware. And you usually see that regarding real estate or it's just a general catchphrase. But I think it applies to politics. Know what you're getting when you go into that voting booth. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the other problem is that they don't have, well, there needs to be more education on the candidates, because a lot of people say my father was a Democrat or Republican, so they'll just blindly go into it.
That's right.
Just without thinking. Also,
or blindly rebel against what their parents were. A lot of people will do that too. They may go along with the family tradition, or they may totally rebel against it. But either case there. You're right. Learn about the candidates. Ari, I have to leave it there. Thanks a lot for being the first one in tonight. I appreciate what you had to say. Take care, okay?
Bye.
All right, Ari, take care. We'll be back after the break. The number here, come on, kids, 800-989-1480. Let's get it on. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.
Gently into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
It's about 26 before the hour. This is Youth Night here on the Malloy program. We are looking for people between the ages of 13 and 17 to call in with your take on what's going on. If you have comments or questions or a particular topic you want to talk about, bring it on. It's 800-989-1480, and we've got two open lines here. So, like I say, we'll do this as long as the kids show an interest. 800-989-1480. Let's go back to the calls. Sarah is calling from Flushing, New York. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I was just thinking that people are still against other people being gay, and it's not even fair. And it really starts in middle school because, I mean, all the kids, I mean, in the entire school, they're always like, that's so gay, he's so gay, she's so gay, and they flirt around as an insult.
Mm-hmm.
And I am gay, and it's really insulting. And when we grow up, they're still going to be thinking that way. And then, I mean, Bush, he said he would veto that bill that protects women and people with about their sexual orientation against discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just really barbaric because, I mean, we're normal. The only difference is we love our gender. And, I mean, it's stupid and it's wrong.
How old are you?
I'm 14 today.
14? Oh, today?
Yeah.
Well, happy birthday.
Thanks.
I'm trying to remember when I was 14, and I guess I was pretty settled on my sexual orientation when I was 14. I guess without anyone, I don't know that I'd ever heard the word at 14, heterosexual or homosexual. Of course, it was a different time back then. And the language was different, and the way we communicated was different. When I got a little bit older, you know, we used to, the boys would make snotty remarks about gay people. You know, we'd call them queers and so on and so forth, before gay people recaptured that word queer and turned it into something that is not as effective anymore against them. But when you said you're 14 and you're gay, I just wonder, are you sure about your orientation at this point in your life?
I'm pretty sure because up until last summer, I never had a crush on anyone.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't find boys remotely attractive, and I couldn't understand why my friends were so obsessed with them.
Right.
And then when I went to sleepaway camp, I had a crush on this girl, and it didn't.
Was she a counselor?
Nah.
No, just another camper?
Yeah. But it didn't work out because she was straight, and I was really, really, well, I burst into tears, and I kind of had a meltdown.
Yeah,
and then I actually had a girlfriend, but we kind of drifted, so mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, because even now, I mean, my sisters, they're drooling over Orlando Bloom and stuff, and I'm just looking at him like, I can't see why.
I drool over Orlando Bloom, are you kidding? Ever since Lord of the Rings, oh my God! But I understand. I was just curious, you know, if at 13 or 14 somebody is all that certain about their orientation. I guess you can be. I'm sure you can. My attitude about sexuality, if you've ever listened to the program, I don't know if you've ever heard me say it or not, but I guess in certain respects, sexuality is fixed. On the other hand, sexuality can exist like on a continuum where given circumstances, certain circumstances, a person can be heterosexual, homosexual, whatever, depending on where they are and what's going on.
But I hate that people are always saying that it's a choice and that, oh, if you're gay, then it's a sin against God. I mean, people
I
bring religion into everything. And
I know.
It's stupid because if you take the Bible literally, then dinosaurs never existed. And then having many wives is a good thing. And
and
your son is a good thing.
And if your kid misbehaves, take her or him out in the backyard and stone him to death.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it is kind of crazy. What, other than the issue of the bigotry and the hatefulness that's shown against gay people by so many other people in this country, what's another issue that you focus on, Sarah, when you think about, you know, the stuff you've got to deal with?
Well, I'm just kind of nervous because we're the next generation. I mean, sooner or later, we're going to be adults. And, I mean, really, it's not too long ahead in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have all that responsibility. And if people are so hateful and so prejudiced as kids, and when we become adults and we get that responsibility, just imagine what we're going to be like. I mean,
sure.
It's going to be really bad if we start off bad as kids. Mm-hmm. Who knows what we're going to be like as adults?
What is it that you think makes teenagers or middle school kids, adopt an attitude that is nasty and hurtful against somebody because of their gender? I mean, boys can be nasty to girls and vice versa because of their sexual orientation, because of their race, because of their religion. What is that?
I don't know. I guess because they're so nervous of being picked on themselves. If they pick on someone else, then they're seen as cool. And
I see, yeah.
Then they're kind of untouchable. But, I mean, there's always someone to pick on.
Do you have a counselor or somebody that you talk to about gender issues? Or not gender, but orientation issues? I mean, how do you deal with being a young gay woman do you have people to talk to about it? Support is what I'm looking for.
Some of my best friends in the world, they're gay. I mean, it's really kind of funny because I have these three best friends and we're all gay and we're just chatting away about all these crazy people who we'd like to beat up one day. And it's just funny.
Yeah, I sit around with my friends and say the same thing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Sarah, but what about your parents? Your parents understanding?
Yeah, they're totally accepting.
You are? Okay. Well, that's
really brilliant.
Well, that makes a tremendous difference in how a kid adjusts. I don't care what your orientation is, how a kid adjusts. It depends on, you know, where the parents are and helping the kid, you know, just kind of get used to the world and get used to themselves, right? You know that already.
The thing is, though, if the kids who are kind of prejudiced towards gay people or just towards any people who are different than them,
right?
I mean, everyone's different in some way. If a kid has a mutation and is born with six fingers on one hand, I mean, they're going to be made fun of. If someone's born any way different, they're always going to be made fun of. And that really sucks because we're the ones who are eventually going to be the people who vote and the people who kind of put the earth on its course. I mean,
can I recommend a book to you? It's a novel.
Sure.
It's you may have already read it. Have you ever read Lord of the Flies?
Yes.
Oh, you have read it already. Okay.
Because
I was going to suggest that will give you an idea of what happens when kids are without a structure. Now, granted, it was written, 50 years ago, but it really, really, really shows how vicious and violent kids who are in a situation without any sort of guidance, how they can be. And but if you've already read it, you know what the book's about.
It's just like, I mean, I'm really mad at Bush for publicly saying he'd veto that bill because, I mean, there's a girl in my school, Yulia, she's openly bi, but some kids in her complex, they beat her up because she was open about it. I mean, she beat them up back, and they got into loads of trouble. But still.
Well, that's how the violence comes, when people in positions of power subtly or directly display their bigotry And like you pointed out a second ago, if they use their religion or if they use politics or whatever to say these people are less than these people, you've got a problem. So,
yeah.
So struggle against it. Sarah, good to hear from you. Take care and stay in touch once in a while, okay?
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, appreciate you checking in. How old was Sarah, 14? When I was 14, I wasn't sure what shirt to wear, much less what my sexual orientation. Like I said, it wasn't an issue back then. I guess it wasn't an issue because it wasn't an issue. If it would have been an issue, it would have been an issue. Hello? Yes.
Wasn't that about the first time you got married?
When I was 14, yeah, right. Oh, God, that hurt. All right, back to your phone calls. Dakota is calling from Avoca, Alaska. Is that right? Dakota?
Hello?
Yeah, Dakota?
Yeah, I hate Glenn Beck.
You're calling from Arkansas?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Before you tell me what you want to do, what town in Arkansas, Dakota?
Avoca, Arkansas.
Avoca, okay.
Yeah.
Is that like
it's
near...
It's like right by Fayetteville.
Oh, okay. Well, that narrows it down then. Now, you don't like Glenn Beck.
Yeah, I want to beat the hell out of Glenn Beck.
Well, now wait a minute. We got all these violent kids tonight. Why do you want to beat him up?
Glenn Beck.
Hello.
I just take Glenn Beck in our family. If you don't like someone, you just beat the hell out of
them. Really? Is that like a family tradition?
Yeah. If you don't like someone, just whoop up on them.
Whoop up on them. Has that served you well in your 14 years on the planet?
Yeah.
It has?
Uh-huh.
Do you get into a lot of whoopings?
I have a couple of guns.
You what? Say it again.
I have a couple of guns in the house.
A couple of guns and you're 14?
Uh-huh.
And do you know how to use them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And
we
your parents
every now and then.
Every now and then. Your parents know you have guns in the house?
Uh-huh. They have some guns, too.
Dakota, you haven't shot anybody, have you?
No.
Okay. Well,
just shooting at the country and everything.
You shoot at the country?
No, we go shooting in the country.
Oh, in the country. All right. Well, be careful. I happen to think 14 is a little bit young for a firearm, but... you know, I'm not your mom or dad, right? Huh? Dakota? I think Dakota's gone. All right. Well, that was certainly an interesting phone call. It was indeed. Ethan is calling. Well, wait a minute. We'll come back to Ethan in a second. We got to take a break here. I got to sit here and process that phone call from Dakota. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Youth Night on the Malloy Program. The number is 800-989-1480. Couple open lines, so come on.
Everybody can make a contribution in the war against the evildoers. And by helping a child in Afghanistan is a very important contribution.
What? It's about 8 minutes before the top of the hour. This is the Molloy program, and it is Youth Night. The phone number here is 800-989-1480. Back to your phone calls here. Ethan is calling from Portland, Oregon. Ethan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
I want to quickly make a comment about your last caller before I go into what I called about.
Okay, the kid from Dakota or from Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
One of the reasons that I think that a lot of people think that beating other people up is the solution to problems, also why people like to have guns is because of the way our society is set up. If you open up any newspaper or magazine randomly, then you can probably find something that is violent or suggests violence.
Yeah, for sure.
And also if you just go channel surfing, then you can probably find the same thing. It's, I think, really built into our society, and it's something that we really need to change.
Let me ask you, Ethan, do you think there's ever a time in any circumstance or situation where violence is acceptable?
Yes, I think that it is acceptable in some cases, although I think that those cases are very rare and that there are a lot of things that people could have done usually before they go into a conflict that could save many lives and keep people from getting hurt.
That's an excellent point.
So, although in some cases, violence, you do have to be violent, but I can't think of any that have happened in our recent history, and Iraq, and I think is definitely not so something that you could use as saying that it is a sign that you have to use violence sometimes.
Right.
It's really a really bad example.
Yeah, Iraq doesn't. Yeah, I got you. By the way, I forgot to ask, how old are you?
I am 13.
13. Okay, now what you really called about?
I called about impeachment and trial in The Hague for Bush, Cheney, and Rumsfeld, because I think that if we don't impeach these guys, or I suppose now that Rumsfeld is gone, try them in The Hague, then other presidents will see it as a green light to go and say, hey, well, I mean, go and say, I can do whatever I want because there's not going to be any consequences.
Now, you're saying that when you say tried in The Hague, you mean for war crimes?
Yes.
Right.
Because, I mean, it just seems like that if we don't do something, then other people will see that it's that there isn't really a consequence for doing these really terrible things.
Well, let me ask you, Ethan, Bush became president when stole the presidency, in my opinion,
yeah,
when you were 7 years old.
Uh-huh.
When did you come to the belief or the idea of impeachment? First of all, you had to have been older than seven understand even the word, the definition of impeachment. So how did you come to the point where you feel that impeachment and trial for war crimes, how did you come to that? And how old were you when you made that, you said, hey, this is what these people deserve?
Let's see. I'm not 100% sure exactly when. I know that impeachment came before before war crimes, and like coming up with exact reasons were more recent than both of those. Let's see. I think that I really got the idea of impeachment in fifth grade, a little bit after the election, so that would mean that I was...
You were 10 then.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, that would be right.
Right, and 10.
And that's when I started getting sort of the idea of impeachment.
Uh-huh.
And I suppose things really manifested themselves more when I was early 11 and when I was about in my 11 early 12 years old, and then I suppose things have really escalated since then, since a couple months ago.
Hey, Ethan, can I get you to hold on?
Sure.
All right, just let's take a break. We've got to take a break here at the top of the hour. We'll come back and pick up Ethan on the other side of the break. And we have Charles in Tennessee, Peter in Tacoma, Tyler in Livermore, California, and Laura in San Diego. We're going to get to all of you. And the phone number here again is 800-989-1480. This is Kid Night, Youth Night, Teen Night. Join us. I'm Mike Malloy. It's about 7 past the hour. This is the Malloy Program on the Nova M Radio Network. A program note before we go back to the phone calls here. We'll be off next week, Kathy and me. And I'm not sure who's going to be substituting. I don't think it's going to be Peter Werby because I think he's got previous commitments. But the vast resources of the Nova M Radio Network are gathering in people to substitute host, so it should be fun. Have a good time next week. Kathy and I are just going to take some R&R and take the kid and get out of Dodge for a while. All right, we were talking with Ethan in Portland, Oregon. Wound up talking about what Ethan called in about impeachment and possible trial for war crimes in The Hague of some of the key members of the Bush administration. Ethan, I agree with you, but I have the feeling that there is not going to be impeachment unless something even more vile than what has already happened is brought about by the Bush crime family. So, short of impeachment and removal from office, what do you think is the best course for us to get through the next 20 months?
I think that the best course is probably for people to get active and to call and email their congressman and woman about the things that they find important. And I don't know what the number for the switchboard, the congressional switchboard is, but it shouldn't be too hard to find.
No, it's very easy to find. Yeah.
Also, starting your own marches and vigils, protesting or things, or like I have my own march that is protesting the Iraq war, and it's pretty easy. You just take a time that you want, and then you try to tell as many people as you can, call up local radio shows, things like that.
So, in other words, organize something, either phone calls to media outlets or demonstrations, or just keep organizing and demonstrating so that people see that there is resistance. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, because... Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, politicians are like weather vanes, although, as John McCain has pointed out, that some of them are show which way the wind was blowing 3 years ago, but on general, most politicians, when it's coming up to their election, they if there's a in their state, if there's a lot of support for something, then they're more likely to vote for that.
That's right. That's right. Politicians are great followers, aren't they?
Yes, if they get.
All right, Ethan, I've got to move on. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate what you had to say.
Thanks for letting me on.
All right, well, take care. Maybe sometime call in when it's not kid night, whatever.
Okay.
All right, thanks, Ethan. You
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. Laura is calling from San Diego. Laura, welcome to the program. How old are you, Laura?
I'm 13.
13. Hi. How are you tonight?
Good.
Good. All right. What's up?
Well, I was coming out of my local Vons, like, maybe last month, and I was approached by these LaRouge, Lyndon LaRouge campaigners.
Yeah.
There was this high school kid there, and there was this little sign on their little table, and it said, Al Gore, a racist only environmentalist could love. So I went up and asked him, how is he a racist? And he showed me this page from a book saying how that we should wipe out all of, that we should not allow Africa to develop.
And they're saying who said that?
Huh?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. They're saying Al Gore said that?
Oh, yes. They're claiming he wrote it in one of his books. I don't remember the name of the book, though.
And we shouldn't allow Africa to develop?
Yeah.
I find that very hard to believe that that's...
I know. I said the same thing to him.
Yeah. All right. Now, so you're talking to a LaRouchean. How old was this person, your best guess?
Maybe 16, 17.
Oh, it was another kid.
Yeah, I actually asked him, have you dropped out of high school? And he said, yes, I dropped out of high school when I was maybe 15, joined the LaRouge campaign.
Right.
And I'm like, how can you tell me this when I'm being told by my other role models, and you're one of my role models, to tell me to drop out of school and join LaRouge, when all these other people are saying I should stay in school?
Right. And what was his answer?
He said, well, LaRouge is right. He knows his economics. He can make the country better. He has all these plans. And he also said that LaRouge said that we actually aren't causing global warming, that there's some, that the sun is causing it. And I said, yeah, that's partially right, because it's the sun rays going through the ozone layer. I've seen the inconvenient truth. I know how global warming works.
Right.
I believe what Al Gore is saying.
So do I.
And he's saying that Al Gore is completely wrong and he's a racist and that we shouldn't believe him. And then he also had this thing saying impeach Cheney, which I agreed with.
Right.
That was one thing they actually got me believing. Kucinich brought it up, and I'm a big supporter of Kucinich. My mom is, and everybody pretty much I know is. And he's saying that Kucinich also has problems. And I'm like, well, what are these problems? You can't tell me any of these problems that's wrong with this Kucinich. And he's saying that I should go and vote, have my mom vote for LaRouche. And I'm like, well, if you're saying, why should my mom vote for LaRouche if we believe in Al Gore and Kucinich is with Al Gore on the whole global warming thing?
Right.
And then I also brought up, well, if only environmentalists could love him and he's a racist, are you calling some environmentalists a racist?
Oh God, Laura, let me interrupt. You ran into a real buzzsaw, didn't you?
Oh yeah.
You know, somebody who really starts jerking your mind around. Let me tell you, Laura, you're what, 13?
Yeah.
When you're 63 or 53 or 83, there's still going to be people who try to jerk your mind around that like that. I'm not saying the kid that was talking to you that was promoting Lyndon LaRouche, I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to go ahead and promote it, but promote a certain belief or a certain leader of a belief. although I always get nervous when they promote the leader and not the system or what his politics are, because it's a short step from promoting a leader as opposed to promoting what's good for the country. It's a short step from that.
I know. I asked him, like, well, what is he promoting and stuff?
Right.
And he really couldn't answer me. He just tried to get me to take all these pamphlets home and give them to my mom and read them myself.
Right. Well, I'll tell you what. Do some independent research, because the pamphlets this kid wanted to give you is going to say nothing good about Lyndon LaRouche. I've been aware of Lyndon LaRouche for probably, 35, 40 years maybe. Have you ever heard the expression, a stopped clock is right at least twice a day? You know, a clock that doesn't work.
Okay. I've heard that.
Right. Well, that applies to an awful lot. That saying applies to a lot of people that may be wrong, quote, on so many issues, but they're right on a few also. And I've discovered that about Lyndon LaRouche. Now, I've been aware of this guy for a long time. I've read a lot of the stuff he's written. I know how pushy some of his followers are. On the other hand, there are a couple things that he has written that kind of appeal, but you have to be careful about that. You know, it's difficult to take one or two things. You know, Mussolini, the dictator of Italy, the fascist leader of Italy, made the trains run on time. Now, a lot of people say, well, that's wonderful. But look what else he did. Hold on a second. Wait, Laura, I got to take a break. Can you hold on?
Yeah.
All right, because I want to chat a little bit more about Lyndon LaRouche. Stay right there, Laura. We'll come back to you in a second. This is the NOVEM Radio Network.
It is not only important for the homeland security of America that we succeed, it is equally as important for generations of Americans who have yet be born.
Who have yet be born. We're talking with Laura in San Diego. All right, Laura, before we go back to Lyndon LaRouche, do you laugh as much as we do about some of the malapropisms that come out of Bush's mouth? Is he not hysterical sometimes?
Oh, he is like the funniest thing in the world. I actually even say it's an insult to call him Monkey Boy.
Yeah, right.
He's an insult to everything.
Oh my God, I have never seen or heard of someone so ignorant in such a position of power. It's funny on the one hand, but it's scary on the other, because
he lasted this long.
I know. All right, now back to Lyndon LaRouche. You just got to be careful, and I'm sure you talk about this with your friends and your parents and whoever, but when people are pushing a certain person's ideology, and I think Lyndon LaRouche has made it very clear that everybody on the planet is wrong except him.
Yeah.
And if you look at political history, you'll find people who have said the same thing, and they usually wind up causing the deaths of millions and millions of people. I don't think there's anything more scary than someone who is seeking political power, who says that their way is the only correct way, and then they take it one step further and say, if you don't go along with them, you're flirting with disaster.
Yep.
To me, there are people who think Lyndon LaRouche makes sense, Laura, who listen to this program.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
But I'm always very careful, and always have been, once I either figured it out or had someone explain it to me, that the cult of personality is something you want to be careful of. Don't get caught up in that. You know, it's good to, you know, make your own determinations, make your own decisions about what you're going to believe in. So
yeah, I actually did look him up.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've even talked to my mom about it. She said he's gone to jail. And personally, anybody who's gone to jail, I don't really want to believe what they're saying.
I hear you. And you know what he went to jail for?
Oh, no.
Credit card fraud.
Really?
Yeah, credit card fraud. He was ripping people off This and this is back in the day. I mean, we're talking about 20. I think.
Yeah, my mom said she was like in high school.
Yeah, to maybe 25 years ago, when maybe not quite that much, but he went to. I think he got sentenced to prison because he was a thief. You know, credit. That's what he was convicted of: credit card fraud. And to me, that's just like, oh my God, are you serious? So.
And in my house,
yeah.
Where I live with my mom,
uh-huh.
Al Gore is not considered a racist. He is.
Good for you, Laura. Good for you. Hey, listen, it's been real nice talking to you.
Me too.
I hope you call in again sometime. And take care, okay?
Okay.
All right, Laura. Bye-bye. Lyndon LaRouche. See, that's another thing. How old was Laura, 13? When I was 13, I was thinking about Lyndon LaRouche or John Birch Society or anybody. I guess I was kind of aware of Senator Joe McCarthy. I guess I was because my mother used to listen to the McCarthy Army hearings on the radio.
Were you still single at 13?
Boy, I'll tell you what, when we're in the car tomorrow heading out for some time off, I'm going to scream and yell at you. Oh, God, it's going to be so much fun. I'll wait till Molly goes to sleep. I got married very young. Yes, I did, because I and the young lady got pregnant. So we got married, and that's the way it was back then. So, We all got through it okay. I think we did anyway. All right, back to your phone calls. Peter is calling from Tacoma, Washington. Peter, welcome to the program. How old are you, Peter?
I'm 13.
13. Well, good. I'm glad you called in. What's up?
Well, just wanted to say, first of all, that I love your show. I listen to it as often as I can.
Well, thank you.
All my friends at school, I'm just getting them into listening to you.
Oh, yeah?
Except for the ones that I want to talk about tonight.
Oh, you want to talk about some of the kids in school? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I have one friend who listens to Michael Savage, and I think he is just what his name suggests.
Yeah.
And
you know what his real name is, don't you?
Yeah, Michael Weiner.
You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Weiner, or Weiner, or I don't know.
Yeah, whatever. And so he believes very, very little in global warming,
mm-hmm.
And he just basically is an exact copy of Michael Savage. Just whatever he says to me. And
oh, hey, Peter, hold on, okay? We've got another break here. I don't know. It seems like the breaks are coming fast and furious. Stay right there, Peter. We'll be right back.
Three times as long as that. You might have to go to war, shoot a gun, kill a nun. You might have to go to war when you get out of school.
Hey, cheer up, kids, it gets a lot worse.
You're gonna have to deal with stress, deal with stress, deal with stress. You're gonna be a giant mess when you get back from the war.
Santa Claus does not exist and there's no Easter Bunny. You'll find out when you grow up that Big Bird isn't funny.
Funny.
Life's gonna suck when you grow up. Life's gonna suck when you grow up. It sucks pretty bad right now. You're gonna end up smoking.
You're listening to Michael Moore on Nova M Radio. Turn down your speakers. It'll be our secret.
I live on the second floor.
It's about 26 before the hour. We're talking with Peter in Tacoma, Washington. And all right, Peter, you were about to tell us about kids in your school or your class that are conservatives, right?
Yep. And so this guy, one time, I had to walk out of a debate with him because he supports the tax cuts to the rich. Because he says that the people who are living on the street don't deserve the rich people's money because they can't just get up and get a job. And then he said that charities for poor people were a bad thing. And then I just had to walk away. And it was absolutely horrible.
Why do you think this was another boy or was it a girl?
A boy, yeah.
Right? Why do you think he has that attitude?
Well, he has been unable to tell me why he thinks the way he does.
Ah, you've challenged him on it.
Yes, I have. Uh-huh. And the only answer I can get out of him is Michael Savage. And
oh, God.
Yeah, it's really annoying. But on Thursday, he had a complete turnaround, because on Monday, he came to me and he said, you know, I only like Bush 50% now because I just found out he hates black people.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you just found that out? Two words, New Orleans. And he said, no, the levees, no one anticipated the breach of the levees.
And then you had to explain all that to him.
Yep, exactly.
Right.
And then when Bush vetoed that bill, which was absolutely horrible, he said, but now he's vetoing the money that he was going to use to fund the troops. And apparently he didn't know about the withdrawal thing.
Right.
And so he refuses to stay informed also. And I just have some trouble sometimes living with these people, going to school with them every day. But the only common interest we share is baseball.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good common interest.
Yeah. And but that's about what I was going to say.
All right. Well, let me ask you something, Peter, because
yeah.
I can remember. See, I was in about where you are in school now, before. Voting Rights Act was passed, before civil rights legislation was passed. Now, I went to school up north, so everything, at least public accommodations and public education, was pretty much integrated, but there was still an awful lot of official, or not official, but unofficial segregation and forcing black folks in the north to accept second-class citizenship. So, you know, I grew up with that, and I saw the changes, and so on and so forth. And then when I moved to the South about 40 years ago, I had to start the process all over again. But my question is, at your age and where you live in Tacoma, right?
Yep.
Okay, where you live, where you go to school, the people you come in contact with, what you're noticing, do you think racism is still a major issue? Now, I'm talking about with, you know, people your age. Is racism a big deal, a not-so-big deal? What?
Well, I think it's a pretty big deal. Right now we're actually studying race and multiracial kids in English class. And it's a major topic that's come up a lot in class discussions. And, and I think it is a very major thing.
What do you see happening in terms of racism, either lessening or getting more severe?
Well, if this man stays in office, it's definitely going to get more severe.
Right.
With the way he thinks and the way he acts.
Yeah.
And all of them. I hate all of them so much.
You hate? Okay, well, you're entitled to feel what you feel. I've had people write to me and say, you know, when you talk about hate, you're putting out negative energy. And I just think to myself, well, you know, what am I supposed to do? Say I don't like them?
Exactly.
You know. All right. Well, Peter, it's been a slice of heaven talking to you. I hope you call back sometime when it's not necessarily kid night, okay?
Yeah, I will.
All right, man. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Take care, Peter. Moving along, Charles is calling from Tennessee. Charles, welcome to the program. How old are you, Charles?
17.
Welcome to the show. What's up?
Well, I was going to talk about outsourcing of all of our workforce and manufacturing in this country.
Yeah, that's pretty ugly. You know, that one is the result of the Democrats as well as Republicans. I'm sure you're aware that NAFTA, which has been responsible for draining so many manufacturing jobs out of this country, came into being during the Clinton years. That's when it actually, you know, became public policy. You know, people have been talking about it for administrations prior to Clinton, but it came into being during the Clinton years.
Yes, and, you know, CAPTCHA's done nothing but make it worse.
Say it again?
And I'm sure CAPTCHA's going to be the same way.
Central American, yeah. These free trade agreements can only benefit corporations. It does nothing for workers or farmers. There is an alternative to free trade, and that's fair trade, and that's to make sure that there's union representation, that there are not subsidies propping up farm prices, for example, here in the United States, so that it becomes impossible for farmers in Central America or Mexico to make a living because they can't sell their products on the global market. You know, if the U.S. government is supporting farmers here, that means when the farmers put their products out on the market, they can charge less because they get money from the government, and that destroys small farmers in other parts of the world. So, yeah, free trade is a lie. Fair trade is a good idea.
I agree with that entirely.
I'm sorry?
I agree with that entirely. I mean, there's no worse financial institution than the corporation. In my opinion, the modern American corporation is nothing more than a giant money-making factory of layoffs and externalities.
All right. You're close to probably getting into the workforce on some level. I don't know what you're studying or what you plan to study beyond high school, but at some point you're going to join that force that, we fully formed adults have been in for a long time. What's your plan? What are you going to do? How are you going to handle this outsourcing situation for you personally?
I'm not exactly sure. I got to see exactly how bad it's going to get. I mean, it's pretty ridiculous, in my opinion, the way everybody's jobs are going away because corporations can find better ways, which is cheaper methods of labor by simply sending it to people who are not willing to demand as much pay and accept the non-union status.
Yeah, sadly, that's one of the underpinnings, one of the fundamental definitions of capitalism. I've talked about this on the show before. Capitalism works for capital, not for people. Capitalism can be okay. Well, sort of okay if it's restricted, if there are rules that everybody has to play by, A. B, if workers are unionized where they can bargain collectively and say, wait a second, you're not going to pay us $6 an hour because we can't live on that. You know, we want $15 an hour, and you still make a profit, corporation, but we have to make a living. So you're right. Unbridled corporatism or capitalism is really hurting the middle class. How would you consider you and your family? Would you economically? Are you middle class?
Yes, I consider middle class. Yes.
Are members of your family having to deal with this outsourcing or loss of jobs, or has it?
It's really only indirect right now.
Oh, okay. What have you thought about field you're going to go into? What kind of profession or job or whatever that you're going to have?
I'm thinking about going into law.
Into law, okay. Uh-huh. Well, it's pretty hard to outsource lawyers, right?
Yeah, it's very difficult to outsource those. Yes.
Yeah, right. Are people in your family in law?
No, but I figured it'd be an interesting field to go into, especially if I was going to work for something like the ACLU.
Well, that's good. That's good. Defending the Constitution of the United States is a good idea, especially when it's under constant assault.
You mean Bush's toilet paper?
Yeah, right. That's exactly what I mean. What a horrible thing. When do you graduate?
Next year, hopefully.
Next year?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you something, Charles, because so far tonight you're the oldest that I've talked with. Are you... What's your attitude? And I'm talking about optimism or pessimism. I mean, as you look kind of toward the future, do you feel good about things, not quite so good about things, bad about things? I mean, what's your attitude?
It's looking pretty bad in my view.
Ouch. Are you worried about yourself or your future?
Not exactly myself. I'm more worried about the world as a whole.
Right. I hear you.
I mean, there's a certain myth circling around about peak oil and stuff.
Right.
And I'm not exactly sure whether or not the global economy can ride it out. And, of course, that happens and we get, the second global Great Depression. I don't know exactly if society can recover from this one.
Mm-hmm. Well, the alternative to that, of course, is to just get away from a carbon-based economy, which is where we've been since the Industrial Revolution, and figure out a different way to produce energy or generate energy.
I don't mean to cut you off or anything, but that's where the corporation comes in my opinion. It's there to slow us down because they make a killing off of what they consider cheap energy, which are carbon-based fuels, and they really don't have the incentive or the will to do anything about it because they're making money off of it.
I
and
hear
they control
you.
The power production and whatnot in the United States.
Well, Charles, you sound like a pretty intelligent young man, and it sounds
you're
focusing on your studies. Thanks a lot for checking in tonight, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, Charles, take care. Break here. We'll be back. Stay with us. Mike Malloy, Nova M Radio.
Could somebody please help out my family? My mom needs hearing aids, new shoulders and new legs. My dad needs a break. He works all day, every day. My brother needs a place and a job where he can make enough money.
Reality Radio for a Rational World. The Mike Malloy Show, only on Nova M Radio.
10 before the hour. Again, we'll be off next week. I guess Jeff Farias is going to do some substituting for us, maybe the whole week. I'm not sure, but we'll be back the following week. We're talking with young people tonight. Let's go back right back to your calls. Tyler is calling from Livermore, California. Tyler, welcome to the program. Hey, Tyler.
Hey.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to the program. You're on the air.
Well, I was calling about gay people not being able to do certain things in office or not be allowed to have certain jobs.
Uh-huh.
And how I think that's completely wrong and why they shouldn't do that, why it's not fair, and how much they're limiting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the government is limiting themselves to so many possibilities and so many ideas that gay people might have.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Why do you think that attitude exists in this country, that for some reason gay folks are looked at differently from people who are not gay? Why do you think that is?
Because they're different. And the radicalness of it all is that why does it matter if they're different? You could just be saying something because they have blonde or brown hair or whatever.
Right.
And or if they're, like, dyslexic or anything.
Sure.
And it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't. How old are you, Tyler?
I'm 13.
Have you discovered that that there are a lot of things that don't make sense? I know I have.
Yes, I have. There's things that just... I ask myself, and I feel like I should ask the people that mm-hmm. I'm thinking about, why did you do that? Why do you think that way? It's not fair, really.
Mm-hmm. Being fair, obviously, is something that's important to you.
Yeah. And I also see the people who don't want people who have black hair, blonde hair, or are gay, or are different.
Mm-hmm.
They're being short-sighted, or ignorant, or not mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, I understand. I understand exactly what you mean. Do you know folks who are gay?
I have a uncle who is gay.
Uh huh.
And personally, I think he's one of the coolest people in the world. He has some great and like great ideas, and like he's like just a really awesome person.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a friend at my school who used to be gay, and like she's like really cool. Like I like hanging out with her. She's really funny and all that. And
So your attitude about gay people comes from firsthand experience in your own family, your own circle of friends, and have you discovered that? And I'm sure you have, or you wouldn't bring up this topic. I'm sure you have discovered that people who issue blanket condemnations of groups of folks are usually making a mistake, unless, now there's one place where you can make a blanket condemnation, and that's all Republicans, Tyler. All Republicans are not good people. I'm sorry. I say that a lot on the program, and I probably shouldn't. But I think you understand this probably better than it's like some people, perhaps me. The older we get, we kind of forget what you're saying here, that people should be judged individually and certainly not just based on you know, the color of their hair, their sexual orientation. They should be judged by who they are, the character, the content. I think Martin Luther King says, the content of their character. That's how you should take a look at somebody. If you're going to judge them at all, a lot of religious texts and a lot of non-religious text says don't judge people. Don't pass judgment on people. But that's pretty hard to do. You know, I've always had a hard time not passing judgment. How about you?
Yeah, like I have had hard times doing that too. Like I see people who have like clothes that are like kind of small or kind of dirty, and
right.
I kind of, my brain immediately goes to the point where I'm like, I'm not so sure if I want to hang out with them. And then I see them walk over to somebody else, and like, and I just, like, I overhear what they're saying, and I'm like, wow, that would be, he might be a really good friend for me.
That's a good lesson. Yeah, that's a good lesson to learn. And that's a difficult lesson to learn. And I'm glad you're learning it at the age you're learning it, because a lot of us, get up to a certain age, and we've already got all those preconceptions in our head. And if somebody has a different look, or they dress differently, like you pointed out, or they have a different, maybe they're religious or they're not religious, you know, we tend to judge them on that. And that's not, I guess, a real smart thing to do, is it, Tyler? Huh?
Tyler, I'm sorry, what was that last part?
I said judging people based on those outward characteristics, that's not a real good thing to do, is it?
No, it's not, because you can see what's on the outside, but you can't see what's on the inside. Don't judge a book by its cover, and so many people, they do.
Yeah, that's true. You've developed quite a bit of insight for 13. I mean, you really have. So congratulations on that. Tyler, I'm glad to have heard from you. I'm glad you called in. Stay in touch, okay?
Okay.
All right, Tyler, take care. Yes, it's break time. Stay with us. Big top of the hour break here. We'll be back for the final hour of the Molloy program tonight. One open line here. If you're between the ages of 13 and 17, want to get it said tonight, come on, 800-989-1480. I'm Mike Molloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. We have one open line. The number is 800-989-1480. All right, let's go right back to it. We are talking to young people tonight, 13 to 17, inclusive. Teen night, youth night, kids night, whatever you want to call it. Something that we have done periodically on this program over the years. I understand that Rush Limbaugh might try this someday.
No, Glenn Beck.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck, yeah. But it's always an eye-opening experience for me. If you are over the age of 17, like up around 50 and you're listening tonight, or 40 or 30, I would assume you are as impressed with the quality of these kids as I am. I guess it's a two-edged sword, isn't it? Should people this young have to deal with the kind of stuff that the two generations in front of them, of which I'm one, has handed them? You know what I'm saying? I think about that for a while, and then I think, well, wait a second. When I was a kid, we had to deal with nuclear annihilation. It was hanging over our heads for most of us, starting in elementary school. I remember the duck and cover drills. I remember games I used to play with my two brothers and sister. We had a game called Flash of Light. That was the name of the game. And I think my brother and I came up with this. And the way the game works is very simple. No matter what we were doing, brushing our teeth in the morning, playing in the backyard, getting ready to go to school, any one of us four kids could holler out, "Flash of light!" And what you had to—that was supposed to be the nuclear flash. What you had to do as soon as one of the brothers or sisters shouted that out, you had to immediately go into a duck and cover position. You know, get under the couch, get under the table, get behind the bathroom door, and the last person to crouch was kind of the goat, you know. Ah, look at you. You've just been turned into a cinder. Meh. So I guess every generation, my mother's generation, had to deal with whether or not they were all going to starve to death or whether or not we're going to be invaded by the armies of fascism. So I guess, in a manner of speaking, every generation has had, certainly in this country, has had things to worry about. It's just I sometimes think that the kids who are growing up now have an inordinate amount of things to worry about. But still, they continue to move forward, don't they? And I think it is wise to continue to put faith in the upcoming generation, the one coming behind us and the one coming behind that. You know what I'm saying? Back to your calls. Ryan is calling from Florida. Ryan, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Ryan?
I'm doing all right.
How old are you?
15.
15. Okay. What's on your mind?
Well, in my English honors class last semester, we read a poem in our literature book, and we had a homework assignment to write our own poem
right
in the same form about somebody we admire.
Uh-huh.
So I did mine on Al Gore.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and after hearing all your calls, I just said I had to call him and read it to you. I figured you like it.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, it's not too long, don't worry.
Okay.
How I miss dignity. In the White House, like in 1994, there were once men with knowledge and care. One man in particular was that plus more. He really won the election 7 years ago, our former Vice President Al Gore. Paying $3 at the pump, I think of him. He didn't believe in hurting the middle class, nor was he one to build nations. I learned to see our Constitution as a way to escape the life he wouldn't want, that of injustice and dictatorship. Even in middle school, I read that document. He taught me that using more oil and burning more fossil fuels causes global warming through a movie called An Inconvenient Truth. How I Miss Dignity. He stood for the people like a giant barrier blocking them from the evil far right. He looked like a president, one that wouldn't start a preemptive strike. Now I think just like him. Iraq bad, Iran worse. North Korea, just forget about it if it gets to that point. We'll all be goners. Find ways to use more clean and efficient fuels. He would grow to admire the sophomore I've become. Thinking, writing, sleeping. Staring at CNN. Now, that's it.
That's good, Ryan. That's good. You got an awful lot in that. That's pretty intense stuff. That was part of a class project, or is that just extra credit?
This is a homework assignment that my teacher ended up submitting to the literary fair.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's really, I mean, that's kind of neat, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was good. Yeah. Got 100 on it, so I'm not complaining.
No, I would never complain about 100, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
What other than the now you live in Florida?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Other than, Yeah, well, I hear that. Other than the global warming issue, what do you think is most on your mind? You know, stuff that really, or maybe a specific thing that really, really, really concerns you.
Well, now that you mention that, my family directly has been affected by the Bush family. It's a sad story, but our former governor, Jeb Bush, helped cover up the murder of my grandfather. And it's still a ongoing case, and it's a long story. We have the most clear-cut evidence people would dream of having in a case like this, but yet Governor Bush finds nothing wrong at the time, and so my family's still going through hell because Jeb Bush couldn't do anything as governor.
Has there been something written about this? Can you send me a link to something?
Yes, actually, I would like to give you a website if you could give out to a the public, because the public eye,
go ahead,
and public pressures can get things done.
What is it?
It's www.cohenmurder.com. C-O-H-E-N.
Cohenmurder.com.
Exactly. And, well, just a quick little thing. My grandfather married a woman half his age, and he was married for about 2-3 weeks. And one day, there's a 911 call that he was that he had a heart attack, and that he was dead and gone. And within the 911 call, when we got it, we can hear my grandfather talking in the background,
right,
when he was supposed to be already dead and gone. And then towards the end of the call, the woman who married my grandfather can be heard ordering him to give up.
Good Lord.
Yeah, and on top of that, the police, it's the most obvious clear-cut thing that you've ever seen before. They sent poor quality tapes to the FBI, so they couldn't find anything wrong. But yet, this woman here is a probation officer that works for the county, so it's no surprise. And in Sarasota, Florida, it's all conservative Republicans.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have all next week off, and what I'll do, Ryan, is go to this website. This sounds like a mystery. It sounds like a cover-up. It sounds like, just from what you've told me, it's certainly something I'd like to take a look at.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
It's a story that no author could write.
Really?
Yeah, it sucks. Because as a 15-year-old, that's not really how I want to live my life now. But
I hear that.
You have to deal with what you have to deal with.
This is your mom's dad or your dad's dad?
My dad's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well...
Yeah, I want to definitely thank you for taking a look at that.
Yeah, I definitely will, Ryan, and I wish we could talk about a happier thing here. I will check it out, and I do appreciate you checking in, okay?
All right, thanks a lot.
All right, Ryan, don't be a stranger. You can call in sometime when it's not teen night, you know, okay?
All right, I'll be listening.
All right, Ryan, thanks. Take care. So we got to take a break here. All right, when we come back, Sarah is up next, then Kelly and Nicola. And we have two open lines now and about 45 minutes of the program left. So jump in here. 800-989-1480 is the number. If you're 13, 14, 15, 16, or 17, we'd like to hear from you tonight. Okay? What do you all think of the program tonight? I'm, as always, very impressed with the people have called in. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Hard life forever.
21 past the hour. Back to the phone call. Sarah is calling from America, Texas. Is that right? America, Texas, Sarah? Hey, Sarah?
Yep. Hi, I'm here.
There's a city called, or a town called America, Texas?
No, I'm a little nervous. Sorry.
Oh.
I love you, Mike. You get me through. I listen to your show every night.
Well, how old are you?
I'm 14.
You're 14? And now tell me the name of the town or the city where you're calling from.
Alpine.
Alpine?
Alpine. Middle of nowhere, Texas.
Oh, yeah. Middle of nowhere. Yeah, right. Well, I've been in middle of nowhere, lots of middle of nowhere, as I know what you're talking about. Okay, yeah. What's on your mind, Sarah?
How do these people sleep at night? That's what I really want to know, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, don't they realize that people are dying, like that Virginia Tech is happening every day over in Iraq?
Yeah.
And that we are $9 trillion trade deficit. And my generation is going to have to clean it up.
How are you going to do that?
I don't know. One of the things that we have to start doing is reverse this insane trade policy, you know, NAFTA. Another thing we have to do is, you know, get rid of these obscene tax cuts for the rich. You know, it's ridiculous.
That's the truth.
I mean, what tax? You know, I heard this idiot on Tucker Carlson saying, you get less of what you tax, so let's tax the poor.
No, wait a minute. He said what?
He said, you get less of what you tax.
Yeah.
So let's tax the poor.
Well, have you ever heard the name? Yes. Have you ever heard the name Willie Sutton? You probably haven't.
I haven't.
Okay, he was before your time and before my time. He was a bank robber back in the 30s, and he kept robbing banks all over the Midwest. And finally, the FBI caught him, and they sat him down. And they said, Willie, why do you keep robbing banks? And he said, because that's where the money is. And it kind of applies for why tax the rich? Because that's where the money is.
Exactly.
I mean, my God.
Although we shouldn't compare the two, really. Robbing a bank and taxing the rich, not necessarily.
No, I was just, you know.
Yeah, I know. I completely understand.
Kind of making a joke. Damn.
Yeah.
All right, now, other than that, what else? You say you listen to this program a lot?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that's kind of...
Well,
anytime I hear somebody who is your age who says they listen to the program a lot, immediately I think about all the profanity that I use. And I, you know, I apologize. I try to apologize for that as I go along. But I get so very, very upset. And I would imagine that you do. I would imagine that anyone who is thinking these days gets upset. So I hope that doesn't offend you.
Not at all. Actually, I've been swearing for quite a while. And
well, don't show me. Don't tell me.
No, I won't. I know
that's not from listening to my program, is it?
No. I've been swearing a long time since way before I started listening to you.
Oh, good. But, well, or not good, but I mean, thank goodness, or something. I don't know.
I know. It's really good to hear someone who says what I think. And, you know, you really get me through a lot.
Well,
you know, I don't know how I would survive a State of the Union without you moderating, or whatever.
That was kind of funny.
Oh, so good, Mike. Thank you.
I've got to ask you now, Sarah. No offense here, but you're 14. The last State of the Union, you were like 13, right?
Yeah.
And the one before that, you were 12.
Oh.
How long have you been as politically aware as you sound? I asked how long?
Years.
You haven't been around for years. All right. How many years? I mean, I'm just intrigued. I'm very curious. I've said before, when I was the age of some of the callers tonight, I was trying to figure out how to fix my bicycle chain. You know, and you guys are very, very, seem to be very informed about what's going on and concerned about it. Not panicked, but concerned about it. I just wonder, somebody who's 13 or 14, when did you start to develop a political awareness?
11 or 12. I think more like 12.
Good heavens. Well,
yeah.
That's a good thing. I mean, never too young, right?
Mm-hmm. You're never too young. And that's what kind of scares me today, is there's been this mentality with kids, you know, oh, you shouldn't talk to her about that. She's too young. Let me tell you a little story here.
Can you hold on? Can you hold on a second, Sarah? Hold on right there. I've got to do a break here. When we come back, Sarah's going to tell us a little story. All right, stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio Network.
I learned about the great ones we ever had. We fought in Germany and in France, and someday I might get my chance. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school. And what did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boy of mine? I learned our government must be strong. It's always right and never wrong. Our leaders are the finest men, and we elect them again and again. And that's what I learned in
school. Mohammed's radio. Just come.
26 before the hour. All right, back to Sarah in Alpine, Texas, who has a story. All right, go ahead, Sarah.
Hi. So I was at the family reunion this last year, and I asked my cousin Walker, who's about 13, if what he thought of politics. And his response was, what does politics mean? Kids today have absolutely no idea. Everywhere I go, that's what I say. You know, do you pay attention to politics? No, not really. Do you support the war? Yeah, I support the troops. You know, I mean, they don't see the distinction, you know. And it really scares me that kids today are so disconnected. I mean, what world are they living in?
I understand that point, the point that you're making, Sarah, but let me offer a counterpoint, if you will. God, I sound like Cheney, if you will. The counterpoint is, to what degree should kids 13, 14, 15, 12 be thinking about this insanity? You know what I worry about? I don't have any kids or grandkids around the age of you and your cousin. I used to. I've got grandkids coming up, and I have a 3-year-old daughter. But other than my 3-year-old, most of my kids now are fully, you know, they're fully adult. They're in their late 20s, their 30s or 40s. And I wonder how a kid can handle that sort of thinking. And not start to feel the stress from it. Surely, kids in your age group who do think about this stuff, it's got to stress you out, right?
Well, to an extent, but I don't think we have the luxury of sitting back and going, this is too stressful for me, I can't think about this right now.
Well, the point I think I was going to make, maybe a lot of kids just say, I'm not going to think about it, like your cousin perhaps, because it is too stressful, it is too scary. You know, like I said earlier, we used to play a game about nuclear bombs falling on our hometown in Ohio, and that was the only way we were able to deal with it. We just made it into a game. We didn't stop and think when we were 9, 10, 12, 14, that we could be annihilated if somebody in the White House or the Kremlin back in the 50s decided to blow the world up. We couldn't think about it, because if we did, I don't know. It just seems to me it would have made us all, you know, little teenage insane people.
You're right there, but, I mean, I don't think we have the luxury anymore, considering how many people are so stupid today. How many people support this war?
Well, that's true.
I don't think, you know, if you want to make that decision as a kid, if you want to make the decision, that's
right.
Okay.
Right.
But you see where I'm going with this?
I do. I really do. And I don't know. It's bizarre. I just hope that you can hold on to, as long as you can, your youth. This is what bothers me sometimes about the kids who have to deal with the kind of horror that you kids are dealing with. Like, I never had to deal as a 14 or 15 years old person with the idea that my company or my country promoted torture. And you kids do. So the thing that bothers me, I think sometimes, how do people who are coming up now, this next generation, people in your age group, how do you handle things like Abu Ghraib? How do you handle, civilians being blown away and then some smart aleck in the government saying, well, it's collateral damage and, you know, we try not to kill civilians, but, Right. Now, I also know that when I was a kid growing up, I was very, very tiny at the time, but, you know, when the United States firebombed the German city of Dresden, when we annihilated Hiroshima and Nagasaki with nuclear weapons, I was barely crawling on the earth at the time, so it didn't mean anything. But like I said earlier, it seems like every generation has their particular set of horrors to deal with. I just hope that you kids can work your way through this. It's like a maze where you've got to retain your sanity. You've got to retain your ability to think positively because you are the future. You know, people my age are not the future. We're the past. And you've got to somehow figure out how to do this. And I hope you make it. I do, Sarah. I'm just sometimes I feel very, very guilty about what my generation has given.
Well, it's not you, Mike.
Well, well, that's very kind. Listen, I want to ask you something that's way off topic, okay?
Okay.
I got an email from someone named Stan who is listening to you and says he's familiar with your part of Texas. And here's what he says. Halfway between Alpine and Marfa, Texas, is a strange feature known as the Marfa Lights. Intermittent lights that show up that you can see from the highway in the middle of the night. I've witnessed them myself. And he wants to know, are you familiar? I don't know what he's talking about.
I do. Yeah, I'm familiar with them, although I haven't seen them yet.
What is that?
That is where there's supposedly some UFOs that, you know, there are these little round lights that you go there and you wait, and sometimes you see them and sometimes you don't.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's
I went there once. I didn't see them.
Well, that sounds like a fun thing to do some night, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, Sarah, I'm glad you called. You said some very nice things about this program, and I do appreciate that. Take care, okay?
Okay.
All right, Sarah.
But have I mentioned tonight how much I hate you?
You just did. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, Sarah.
Sarah's kind of freaking me out. I think Sarah's auditioning for the role of Kathy.
I think she might get it.
All right. You don't marry him quite that young.
I know. Oh, boy. Well, I can't say what the Goodfellas say, but this is Bust My Chops night tonight, huh? Kathy needs a vacation. This is from Kurt. In Minneapolis, he writes, I know it's teen night, but could you ask your listeners to do something over the weekend? And here's what he writes. I just heard the news, the top of the hour news on Sirius satellite radio. Did you hear the results of the survey of soldiers and Marines? And the answer to that is no. Kurt writes, if you see this in time, please ask your listeners to consider the ramifications of the following results. 10% of all soldiers in Iraq admit to mistreating Iraqis. And secondly, 38% of Marines and 47% of soldiers believe that Iraqi civilians should be treated with respect and dignity, which obviously means that 62% of Marines and 53% of soldiers don't. Kurt writes, not to belabor the point, but of 150,000 U.S. troops currently in theater, 15,000 admit to having mistreated Iraqi prisoners and civilians. Beyond that, something like 65,000 currently in theater see absolutely no problem with it. Mike, can you imagine how many Abu Ghraibs have occurred throughout Iraq over the last 50 months? Can you imagine the negative karma that's heading our way over the course of the next several generations? With these numbers, I think he's referring to the military, must be removed immediately before they cause more harm to the security, long and short term, of the United States. Yeah, that is kind of scary. All right. back to your phone calls. Do we have Annie in Portland? Annie, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, hi, Annie. Welcome to the program. I'm
Hi.
Sorry. I didn't realize I had picked up your call.
Well,
all right. What's up, Annie? How old are you? First of all, how old are you, Annie?
14.
14. You're calling from Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
All right. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I just want to say it's great to talk to you again. I don't know if you remember me. But
I think I do remember Annie from Portland. How are you? How have you been?
Good. I've missed you, but... It's good to have you back.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Annie. You listen to the program a lot?
Yes.
Wow.
I've been listening to you since you started at Air America. So.
Oh, for heaven's sake. You started listening when you were like 11?
Yeah.
Whew. Well, that's that makes me want to, from here on out, clean up my language a bit. Wow, that's
no.
that's pretty impressive.
Not necessary.
So, what do you have on your mind tonight, Annie?
I was thinking about the 2008 presidential election.
Yeah.
And I, on Wednesday, was lucky enough to go see John Edwards speak, and was utterly impressed. But
what impressed you?
Well, he has plans. I mean, he's spent the last couple of years trying things out, making sure they work. Like he was talking about college funding plans that he's tried on a smaller scale.
Right.
And he's got a lot of integrity.
Yeah, he does seem to, both he and his wife. Annie, can you hold on a second? I got to do a break here, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, just stay right there. We'll come back after the break. This is Nova M. I'm Mike Malloy.
Coming out of the school system who were illiterate. And it wasn't right.
Nah, it wasn't right. It's about 10 before the hour. Thanks to the crew tonight. Ian Huff, who engineered and co-produced in Phoenix at KPHX, our flagship station. Slow down, Mike. Chris in Minnesota, our senior correspondent. Mark Marshall, our webmaster. And the moderators at MikeMalloy.com on the message board. Thanks, everybody. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. Remember, we'll be off all next week. So when you tune in Monday night, don't frantically send me an email that says, oh, my God, you've been fired again. No. We're just taking some time off. All right. Back to Annie in Portland. Annie, you're about to tell us why you're concerned about the 2008 election, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Another thing that bothers me is I was talking to one of my closest friends the other day, and I asked her, you know, who are you supporting?
Right.
And she said, Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
And myself, I really don't agree with that. But even just in practical terms, It's a sad thing, but if we're going to be taken seriously in the Middle East, we can't have a female president. She's not going to be taken seriously just because of the culture.
Of course, well, that's true. But on the other hand, I don't think oh, how to put this, because I'm not a Hillary Clinton supporter. I don't think of the candidate's gender, how that candidate's gender is perceived in a different part of the world should make any difference to Americans. If people feel that a certain person, like the citizens of the UK, thought Margaret Thatcher was great, so they made her the prime minister. The citizens of Israel thought Golda Meir was great. They made her prime minister. The citizens of India thought Indira Gandhi was great. They made her prime minister. And it goes on and on. The citizens of the Philippines, I knew this had happened. I'm drawing a blank on her name. Eva Perón in Argentina. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. So Corazon Aquino is the woman in the Philippines I was thinking of. So I don't think that at all, as a matter of fact, that a candidate's gender should be what is, you know, and how that gender is perceived in different parts of the world should be a reason to not vote for that candidate. I think, as a matter of fact, if there was somebody who presented solutions to problems as a presidential candidate that impressed me, I wouldn't care what that person's gender is. I just don't think Hillary Clinton happens to be that candidate. Annie, I'm going to try to squeeze in one more call. So, listen, I'm going to let the call go. Thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in, and I'll talk to you again, okay?
All right.
All right, sweetheart. You have a nice evening. Kelly in Sacramento has been holding on forever. Kelly, sorry for not getting to you quicker, but welcome to the program.
Thanks, but that's okay.
Okay.
I could wait.
Now, you're how old?
13.
Okay. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, last month, my school, Creative Connections Arts Academy, was finishing up its career day.
Yeah.
And they invited some people from the Army to come.
Yeah, okay.
And, well, they brought us through, and they taught us everything we could possibly need to know about joining the Army. And then they even had us out there exploring the truck.
Ooh.
Eating some of the food.
Yeah.
And a thought that crossed my mind later after my mom pointed it out, yeah, that they're targeting middle school kids to join the Army.
That's pretty grim, isn't it? That really irritates me, Kelly.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you and your mom. I can't believe that they're going after, seventh graders, sixth graders?
Seventh, eighth, and I'm pretty sure younger grades saw them too.
Yeah, that's not right. So I get from what you're saying that you're not ready to go sign up.
No. Although, sadly, it worked. Lots of people wanted to join the Army.
Yeah, do they, when the recruiters come out like that, do they talk about arms being blown off and faces being removed?
No.
And post-traumatic stress disorder and blood and murder and death and destruction and screaming and civilians dead and babies blown into pieces? No, I don't think so.
No.
The recruiters that came to my high school never talked about that. They talked about how snappy you looked in the uniform and what fun it is to drive a tank. And wouldn't you like to zoom around in the skies in F-16 or whatever? If military recruiters want to come on a high school campus or a middle school campus, why don't they tell the truth and just say, look, some of you who join up will be killed. Some of you who join up will be asked to kill. And some of you who join up will come back minus an arm, a leg, or, you know, all of that. It's not right, Kelly.
I know. It's probably because they just want recruits for the Army. They don't really care what happens to them.
I think you're right.
And while we're on the subject of corruptness, there's way too much of that in the Capitol.
Amen.
Too much. Way too much. I can't even keep track of it all.
I know. If you did, Kelly, don't try.
I won't.
Don't try, because if I don't care if you're 13 or 23 or 83, if you try to keep track of the corruption that goes on, especially in the Republican Party and in some cases in the Democratic Party, it's going to drive you totally insane and make you just want to go, okay, I think I'll go join the circus now and forget everything. Right?
Yeah.
All right, Kelly, guess what?
What?
We're out of time.
Well, that's okay.
All right. Well, thank you for checking in, okay? All right. Zach in California and Nicola in San Diego, I'm sorry I did not get to your calls tonight, but we are just flat out of time. Thanks to all of you who participated tonight, all of the kids. Let me tell you, I've been getting emails from the adults as we go along here, and people listening to the program tonight, I'm talking about the oldies, are very impressed with what all of you had to say. So thanks a lot for participating. I'll see you in about a week. Take care. I have not been fired. We're just taking some time off. We will be back, okay? In the meantime, take care and keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Have a good weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are.
The one they fix, the one you know by.